Page 506. We are on Pasuk. We're going to start Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Pasuk 21. Moshe Rabbeinu saw that it was a auspicious time. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, I want you to, number one, not give prophecy anymore to the non-Jews. Prophecy should stay by the Jews. And Hashem said, okay, I'll listen to you, and says. Then Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Hashem and says, hey, show me your face. Show me your glory. I want to... Not such chutzpah yet. Show me your godliness. I want to see godliness. So Hashem said to him, the last pasuk that we learned, Pasuk Kov, Hashem said to him, you cannot see my face. Literally, simply it means no person could see me and live. Or like we learned, the Medrash explained, not only could a person not see me, even angels that are called the Chayas HaKadosh can also not see Hashem. So therefore, Hashem said to him, listen, you want to see my face? That's not happening. But Hashem said to him like this, Vayem Hashem, inimakim iti, there's a place with me, meaning that I always speak to you, and this is a place that will not hurt you. Okay? And the Medrash says, Hinemakim iti, it doesn't say, Ani b'makim, I am in the place. The place says, Hinemakim iti, and the Medrash uses the famous expression, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekeim Shel Olam, God is the place of the world, but the world is not the place of God. Meaning, the world is God, but God is the world, but the world is not God. In other words, when you say God is the world, it means the place where the world is really godliness. But the world is not only God. I mean, the world is not only God. The world's place is not the only level of God. God's all over the place, even above the world. So in other words, there's an expression the Medrash says, Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekayim Shel Olam, Hashem is the place of the world, meaning the place where the world is a revelation of godliness, but the world is not the only place where God is. The world is not the place of God, because God is infinitely greater than the world. So Hashem says to him, listen, I have a place, there's a place near me. You should stand on the rock. In other words, this is the place where you're going to see me. So Hashem says, and we'll discuss in a second. So Hashem says to him like this: you stand on the rock. I'm going to walk by. I'm going to cover you for a while, and when I walk by, you could see my back. In other words, we'll explain in a sec what that means. When my glory will pass by, I will place you in the crack of the rock, meaning I'll conceal you in the rock. And I'll shield you with my hand until I have passed. Then I'll take off my hand, but you'll see my back, but you're not going to see my face. So in simple English, just taking the pasuk, learning it literally, Moshe Rabbeinu says, listen, Hashem, please show me your face. Hashem says, listen, such a thing can't happen. I'm too great for you to see. But guess what? There's a place next to me here on the rock. Stand on the rock. I'm going to walk by. I'm going to stick you into the rock. When I walk by, I'm going to cover you with my hand that you shouldn't see me. After I finish walking by, then I'm going to remove my hand and then you can see my back. And Rashi says, what does it mean, I'll show you my back? He showed him the knot of the tefillin. He showed him the kesher of tefillin. And now we'll explain it, elaborate on this whole thing. What does it mean over here? And also, God has a face and a back. I mean, like it's a very funny expressions. I mean, God doesn't have a face, and God doesn't have a back, and God doesn't have a knot of tefillin, and you know, all these things don't exist, basically, in its simple concept when it comes to godliness. But again, Torah speaks in human terms. By understanding what these concepts are in human language, we can understand what it means in a spiritual sense, obviously. Which means as follows. When you look at a person face to face, number one, you can recognize the person. When you look at the back of the person, it's sometimes very hard to recognize the person. Because the essence of the person is in the face, in the front. That's the essence of the person. When you like somebody, you like to look at them face to face. Okay, face to face is, as it's called in Shir HaShirim, discusses the relationships, you know, and then the love story of husband and wife, which refers to the love story between Hashem and the Jews, is the concept of kissing, which is face to face. And, you know, all these types of things basically represent a revelation of face-to-face. Face-to-face is a much higher, intimate, closer relationship than when you look at somebody's back. If you don't like somebody, and you have to give them something, you throw it over your shoulder. You know, if you give it to them, it's not something you enjoy giving or you want to give. When it comes to a level of godliness, there's what's called the pnimius, the real revelation of God. And there is the external revelation of God, which means it's not the same great level of revelation as it would be in the front. In the front, you see the whole person. You see the features of the person. You know, you see their face. You see their glory. You know, there's a relationship there. Back is a very external, limited amount of relationship that the person has when you look at the back of the person. Now, when it comes to godliness, there is also what's called the level of pnimius, the internal face-to-face revelation of godliness. And to give you another marshal, not that we're going off a little bit, but to understand it a little bit better, there is different wants that a person has, a will, okay? A person wants to work. Why do they want to work? Because they want to make money. So let's say you have here two wills. They want to work and they want to make money. Now, the real will is to make the money. But in order to make money, you need to work. So therefore, you want to work. Okay? It doesn't stop there, by the way. It goes even further. Now, therefore, the external will is to work. What's the real purpose? The pnimius purpose of the work is to make money. The truth is, it doesn't stop there, because why do you want money? To be able to buy food or to support yourself. So even wanting money is external compared to the higher level of will, which is to be able to support oneself. And that is also external compared to a higher level. So there's even in different levels of will, you have something is external compared to an internal level, but something which is internal is external compared to a higher level. Okay? Like, you want to work because you want to make money, because you want to live. So, wanting money is pnimius compared to wanting to work, but it's external compared to the, because you want to live. Okay? In the same thing, you have different revelations of godliness. You have the, when Hashem shines, like we say in Birchas Kohanim, Yisa Hashem Panav Eilecha, Hashem should live his countenance, meaning he should give his face, reveal his face to you. That's a much deeper level. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to see such great levels of godliness. Hashem says, you can't remain a human being, or even an angel. You cannot remain a creation. You cannot remain a limited being and have this level of revelation. This level of revelation is so infinite, it's going to explode you. Okay? So what does Hashem say to Moshe Rabbeinu? Listen, I know what you want. You want to see my infinite level, my pnimius. But you know what? K'leirani adam v'chai. No person can see it. Not even an angel can see it. So therefore Hashem says, what I will do to you is I will show you an external level. What is the external level? Hashem says, I'm going to cover you. What's it covering? A concealment, like a curtain that blocks the light or blocks the revelation. So Hashem says, I'm going to make a tzimtzum, and then you will see my external levels of godliness, and that you will be able to sustain. It's an auspicious moment. So pnimius is just impossible for you to see and remain a human being.
Can Hashem do anything?
Hashem can do whatever he wants.
Okay.
No?
And he obviously expanded Moshe's consciousness beyond other human beings. To give him the abilities to do what he did. So why couldn't he expand him?
Can Hashem make a rock that he can't pick up?
that Hashem can't pick up?
Can God make a rock that he cannot pick up?
No.
Yes.
Then you're limiting him.
Okay, yes.
Then, no, but he said then he can't pick it up.
I mean, it's a rhetorical question.
What's the answer to the question?
Within the confines of the universe he set up.
No, keep talking. You can answer your own question, yeah? Okay.
No,
keep talking. You'll answer your own question. Can Hashem make a square circle?
Square circle.
Yes,
I like it. Language.
That's the answer to this question. The answer, can God make a rock that he can't pick up? So whichever way you look at it, you're limiting him.
Right.
The answer to the question is, the question doesn't exist. Because can God make a square circle? It's not because God can't make a square circle. If it's a square, it's not a circle.
Right.
And if it's a circle, it's not a square. God can't have something that he can't do. Is it making a square circle? A person cannot draw a square circle is not because he lacks something, because the Metzius can't be. Now the truth is, Hashem, as we learned, can make place and above place simultaneously. But that's only what's called Nimna and Nenois, that's only in the power of God to make place where it doesn't exist. In other words, to make something that doesn't, it isn't, only God himself could do. Now Hashem set up in the world in a way as follows. If you're limited, you cannot have infinite. Because if you have infinite, then you don't remain finite. So can Hashem make a person infinite? Yeah. But Hashem says, Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to remain a human being.
But here's the thing. Moshe had a tremendous understanding of God.
It's still
human. So what was Moshe really asking for?
For a higher revelation of godliness that he didn't have before.
But which he probably...
Moshe Rabbeinu had a level of Chochmah Vatzilus.
But he probably knew he couldn't get this level.
But he saw that now is an auspicious time. Okay? He says, God, how about doing it? You could do whatever you want. So Hashem said, Boychik, I could do whatever I want, but it's not happening. I will show you my external revelation. And in fact, what did God show him? Rashi says from the Medrash, what did the back, what did he show him? He showed him the knot of the tefillin. Okay, like we just said. Now, what does it mean he saw God's knot of the tefillin? Now, the Gemara says that God puts on tefillin. The Gemara says, in fact, the kids say this in the Bar Mitzvah Maimer, okay? Mashu mitzava l'achirim la'aseis hu'aiser. Whatever God commands us to do, he does. Correct? So therefore the Gemara says, God puts on tefillin. So now the Gemara says, and the kids say this in the Bar Mitzvah Maimer, tefillin, the Mari Alma Maksiv Buhu. What does it say in God's tefillin? We know what it says in our tefillin, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, one of the many things, but Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What does it say in God's tefillin? Umi ka'amcha ki Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. There's a passage that says, who is like you Jews that have one nation in the world? Goy echad ba'aretz, you're one nation in the world. So basically, what does it say in God's tefillin? The greatness of a Jew. What does it say in our tefillin? The greatness of God. Now, does God have boxes with straps? Doubt it. There's no head to put it on. And there's no long strands hanging down from who knows where up there. Okay? Now, huh?
You need a big
cow for that one there. Big box. Now, so what does it mean that Hashem puts on tefillin? Okay, what is tefillin by a Jew? Tefillin by a Jew is a concept of binding our mind and heart to God. Okay? I mean, obviously the men are supposed to know this because this is what you're supposed to think when you're putting on tefillin. The women will forgive for not knowing it. But you put on tefillin on the hand next to the heart. You put tefillin on the head on top of the brain to show that we bind our mind and heart to Hashem. Okay? So what is the concept? There's no physical tefillin. But conceptually, what is the concept of tefillin? The binding of the mind and heart to God. Because what does it say in our tefillin? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The God is one. Now, what is it saying, God's tefillin? Like we said, the praise of the Jews. Mika amcha ki Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. Right? Just like we say Hashem echad, Hashem calls us goy echad, the unique nation of the world. So therefore, what does it mean when a Jew puts on tefillin, they cause Hashem to put on tefillin? Meaning, when we praise God, God praises us. Correct? Now, the knot of the tefillin, what does a knot symbolize? A bond. What is a knot? You tie it, you bind it. Right? Bind it for a sign on your hand and on your head. So when Hashem's, what is the spiritual significance of God's tefillin that have the knot in the back? The way God binds himself to the greatness of the Jew. So now we're talking at the time of the Egel. Moshe Rabbeinu is asking forgiveness of the Jewish people. He says, God, show me a face. Show me a level of godliness that will keep the Jews going. So Hashem said, listen, that level I can't show you. But I will show you an external level of bond between me and the Jews by showing you my back, meaning the knot of the tefillin that binds Hashem to the Jew, just like our tefillin binds us to Hashem, Hashem's tefillin binds him to the Jew, and that's what Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu.
And why only Moshe? Why didn't he show other people?
Why did God speak to Moshe, not to you or me?
Speak for yourself.
Okay. Why God doesn't speak to me, I know for sure. So why doesn't speak to you? That I'm asking.
Why doesn't speak to you?
Huh? God speaks to me.
Doesn't speak Farsi.
He does speak to me.
Oh, okay.
You know how he speaks to me? I wake up in the morning.
Yep.
That's God saying, hi, I'm here, good morning. I'm able to move my hand. That's God communicating. No, what else do I need more than that? I need to hear voices. No, years ago, when people walked in the street and talked to themselves, they were meshuggah. Now everybody walks and talks in the street, they're talking to themselves. They're talking to themselves. You stand in line, you think a guy's talking to you, turn around, huh? No, I'm not talking. Yeah. So, you know, now people hear voices too.
Okay, Rabbi
Shusman. Yes, ma'am.
If you're imagining Hashem.
I can't. I'm not even trying.
The imagination. Okay. So would be closest to a person, closest to a thing. I mean, when you're diving into Hashem, you're making some kind of a...
There was a chassid of the Baal Shem Tov. There was a student... Can I answer the questions? There was a student of the Baal Shem Tov that reminisced his past before he became a chassid. And he said, it's a printed letter from the Friedrich Rebbe to his daughters. And he writes over there, the chassid is laughing at himself of how he used to think before he started learning Chassidus. And he said that he pictured Hashem mm-hmm. as a ferocious buffalo. That's the way he used to picture Hashem, as this buffalo about to attack him, and he better behave. That's how he perceived the greatness of God. The God is ferocious. And then when he became a Chassid, he started learning a little bit of Chassidus. He started laughing at himself, how stupid he could have been to picture God as a ferocious buffalo. We can't picture God in any way. But when you have Hashem, is called Adam Ha'elyon, the man on high, right? The man on the throne. Okay? There's a concept of Adam, of Hashem. What it means is, just as a person has faculties of intellect, emotions, okay? Just like the head by a person is higher than the rest of the body, by an animal, it's all on the same level. So when we speak about ki b'tzelem elokim asas ha'adam, that man was made in the image of God, it says at the beginning of Chumash, that man was created in the image of God, it doesn't mean that God looks like us. There's no way that God looks, thank God he doesn't look like us. There's no way that God looks like us. What does it mean a person, huh? What does it mean he made us in his image? Just like there's intellect and there's emotions, and intellect is higher than the emotions, and intellect controls the emotions. That's the way we are, that we have intellect, we have emotions. But there's no, yes, but conceptually, in other words, just like tefillin symbolizes conceptually the bond between the Jew and God, So Hashem's tefillin symbolize the relationship between the God and the Jew. But it doesn't mean the God is putting on boxes and wrapping the tefillin and shaking with his talis. And yeah, it says in Chazal that Hashem has a talis. It says when the Jews daven by slichas, Hashem puts on a talis and he davens. You know, that Hashem is not shaking with a talis up there. We will see revelations of God. You're not going to see a guy walking high up there. You're not going to stand on the line waving at everybody. No. What do you mean seeing God?
We will never see how from what God is or isn't.
We will have an ultimate revelation of godliness. What happened? Infinitely greater than Gan Eden.
What?
Much more than Moshe. Much more than Matan Tera. Yes.
Much more than Matan Tera.
Matan Tera is only, as Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, Me'ein Zeh. The revelation of Mashiach is only similar to Me'ein. A little bit of it was by Matan Tera. When they saw Nech Hashem Elokecha, they saw... Correct. But it's not the same level we're going to see. But at that time, there'll be a revelation of godliness in the world that the world until then couldn't handle because of Tzimtzum. Mm-hmm. Okay? There's going to be a level of revelation of God higher than the level of Tzimtzum, okay, which I don't want to get into now. Higher than the level of Tzimtzum means, even though that revelation at the beginning of creation couldn't be, Hashem said it's too much, he had to limit himself. When Mashiach comes because of the Avaida of Torah Mitzvahs and the Avaida of refining the world through our actions, the world is becoming refined enough to be able to see an ultimate revelation of godliness. Now, will there be levels then, or will that be, you know what, let's worry about it when it happens. It's not happening.
No, because it says in a lot of...
We have to hope things can happen, by the
way. No, I understand, but I'm saying that revelation is also not right away when Mashiach comes. It's also Tchis HaMesim is... A little bit later.
What?
One second. What? What are you saying? There's a chair in there, and a velvet chair there.
I don't know. I'm asking. I don't know
what it means. What it means is, just when you sit next to somebody, you're close? Mm-hmm. Yeah? What does it mean when you have a close friend? You're sitting next to them?
No.
What does it mean, a close friend?
Well, I could be close to my heart.
What does that mean? Close, in my language, means he's close to me. Right? You're further away from me. Correct?
Physically.
So, what does it mean when you say you have a close friend? They're sitting next to you?
No.
What does it mean?
It means mentally, emotionally, he's my...
So that's what we're seeing of godliness. We're not seeing the physical tefillin. We said many times. You measure pits or the ocean, the depth of the ocean... You measure with feet, mm-hmm. right? Or yards or miles. If somebody says, this person has a very deep head, what does it mean? It's 10 feet deep? Or you say, a person has a very big heart. If a generous person has a big heart, what do you mean? It's like this?
Like this.
What does it mean? No, the heart is the same size.
Mm-hmm. Not really.
Yes, it is. What does it mean? What does it mean? You're using physical expressions on something that we're not talking physical. When you say a big room, it means how many feet, square feet the room is. When you say a big heart, we're not talking about square feet. When you speak about depth of an ocean, you're talking miles. Okay? The depth of a room, you're talking feet. When you're about the depth of a heart, you're using the word depth, but it's a completely different concept. Okay? When we use physical terms, they're sitting next to God's throne. That doesn't mean they have a chair that they can stick out there and God's going to share Shalom Aleichem them. It doesn't mean that. One sec. It doesn't mean you're using the word close, like we said, close relative, far relative, close friend, distant friend. You know? These are all expressions of different... concepts. It's not physical. You can't use physical language. Even in the physical world, we said you have different languages. You can't use physical language on God and expect it to mean physical. Mm-hmm. Higher, lower in spiritual realm. Higher means the second floor is higher than the first floor. higher and lower in spirituality means a feeling of greater revelation of godliness is higher, and this is lower. What?
How I can connect my mind and heart with Hashem?
By doing what Hashem wants, and thinking what Hashem wants. What?
At times like this, that Hashem, he's showing favorism to Moshe.
Not favoritism, he deserved it.
Okay, but he's showing his glory, he's showing one step closer. So why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu ask him the ultimate question? I mean, this is the
good time. What's the ultimate question?
This is the good time to ask him for final redemption, and all the secrets of the Torah.
He asked for it, but the Jews ruined it by sinning. Jews ruined, yes, Jews ruined it by sinning. If the Jews didn't sin in the Yegel, and the Jews didn't sin in the spies, there would have been the final redemption. There would have been.
It would seem that this is a good time.
He asked. But as far as the way it was planned now, Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to go into Israel. He didn't get punished yet. It was supposed to be the ultimate redemption. The Jews ruined it, as always. Yeah.
Are women allowed to put on tefillin
no.
at least once?
No.
No?
Nope.
Why?
There's absolutely no purpose.
Yeah, there is no purpose, but is it really forbidden?
Yeah.
Is it forbidden?
For women to wear tefillin today is forbidden.
Today, but historically.
It was always. Out of how many millions of Jews did people put on tefillin?
Right.
That's it. Very few people. Today they're not allowed to put on tefillin. It could be even a negative commandment of the Torah. It could be mamash a sin. In addition to the fact, I'll give you an example. 10-year-old kids do all the mitzvahs, right? Mm. Educationally, they do all the mitzvahs. Yes. You ever find a 10-year-old kid putting on tefillin?
No.
They wear tzitzis. Why shouldn't they wear tefillin? 10-year-old kid wears tzitzis, and he davens, and he does lulav and esrig, and he makes kiddush. He does all the things. Why doesn't the kid put on tefillin? The answer is tefillin are too holy. If you're not obligated in, you're not allowed to.
Dressing in man's clothing.
That's the negative commandment. You cheated. You heard that the other day in Shul.
I did not. No. I just got lucky.
No, we're talking about in Shul the other day. Okay. So, Hashem says like this. You want, you can come into the rock and he wants to see the... Now, by the way, it wasn't so easy.
How did before this woman wear tefillin?
I don't know. Now we're not learning about tefillin. Now, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, and he said to Hashem, show me your face. It says, the angels got very angry at Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu said this, God, show me your face, the angels got very angry. They said, understand, God, we're next to you, we serve you, you never showed us. This kid comes here, and all of a sudden, one day, you want to show him your glory? And it says to such an extent, that the Malachim wanted to kill Moshe Rabbeinu. So Hashem had to put his hand, and stop the Malachim from hurting Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay.
Malachim never liked Moshe Rabbeinu.
No, they didn't get along with him. It's too much competition with him. In fact, the Gemara tells a story with under the Nunes Keser. They asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. He asked him a very simple question. He says, is there a boss in this world? Yeah, there. He says, yeah. He says, so, he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the boss? He said, God. He said, why doesn't he show it to us? Why doesn't he show himself? Every boss shows himself to the world, you know. Why doesn't God show himself? He says, because a person would not be able to handle the revelation of God. If God would reveal himself, we wouldn't be able to handle it. So he says, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. You know, I don't accept this answer. So he says, Reb Shua took the Keser, the king, out to an open place, and he says, look into the sun. The sun was out. He says, go glare into the sun. He said, I can't. He said, if you can glare into the sun, which is one minute, nothing, creation of Hashem, how do you expect to look into God? He said, okay, you got me. You know, that's what it is. Okay, so but
Hashem, so to speak, to hide himself than to reveal himself.
Yeah. True. Is it harder for people to talk or to be quiet?
For some people, it's very
for
difficult.
For
some, it's hard.
For some people, most people.
For women. For women, it's hard.
So really, the only thing that possibly delayed the original,
it's your sins,
the creation, is God figuring out a way to hide his light.
Yeah, Hashem has its kerch of tzimtzum is also one of the infinite powers of Hashem. Now, some of Farshim learn over here a whole different concept. Moshe Rabbeinu never asked God to see his glory, because Moshe Rabbeinu knew it's impossible. Moshe Rabbeinu knew he can't. So he said, what did he ask him? So the Mefarshim explain what Moshe Rabbeinu said, show me the reward of tzaddikim in the world to come, because in this world I only see them suffering. So he said, maybe you're going to show me some reward for the tzaddikim. So he says, show me also why the wicked are prosperous in this world. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu asked David HaMelech's famous question. Why is the world topsy-turvy? The wicked prosper, the righteous suffer. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, can you explain, show me your glory. Meaning, can you explain to me this world that it doesn't make sense? So Hashem said, he said like this, the first thing he says, I can show you, the second thing I can't. Meaning, the reward of tzaddikim when Mashiach comes, then I'll show you. Why wicked prosper in this world, he said, I can't show you. That I can't show you. That's too deep to understand. And the Taka didn't answer it. Okay. Parak Lamed Tov.
We have no answer.
Ganeid. No, there is an answer.
Only?
Until Mashiach comes.
For the wicked and the
why do the wicked prosper? It's very simple. They get the reward for the good that they do in this world, and in the world to come, they get nothing.
Oh.
The wicked.
But the Jews always get something.
They know how to deal.
And the good that suffers.
The Jews know how to deal.
And the good that suffers.
Because they get punished for the bad they do in this world and in the world to come. Listen, we learned in the Gemara in Saita. Yeah, the Gemara discusses. Somebody asked somebody where a city was, and he accompanied him to show him where the city was. Because of that, he was blessed that when he went to a city and built a city called Luz, it was a city that nobody died. And even people that wanted to die had to go out of the city to die. And the Malach Mavis has no power there. Why did he get that reward? For generations. Because he took a guy and showed a guy where to go to a city. He did a small little act, but he got tremendously rewarded. So Hashem rewards tzaddikim in the world to come, and therefore, in order for them to have a clean slate in the world to come many times, Hashem makes them suffer in this world, that then they come to the next world, they clean slate, only purity, and they get all this reward. And then sometimes Hashem works with the wicked. He gives them the reward in this world, which is temporary. And in the world to come, they have nothing.
A world that doesn't make sense.
Nothing makes sense.
A world where they can't...
What? Sorry. What?
Because the purpose of the world is not to get the world to come. The purpose is the real godliness in this world. And if a tzaddik is, God forbid, suffering in this world, it probably prevents him from doing more in this world to reveal godliness.
Yes, I'll be a real Jew. Yes and no.
Can you not be a real Jew?
That's hard. I was born. I can't do anything about that.
That's what contradicts.
Is the ultimate reward? Shh. 1 second. You want me to answer your question? You want me to answer your question? So listen. Huh?
Yes or no? He said yes or no.
She's a woman.
She's his wife, yeah. You see, now what am I talking about?
You said one.
What is the ultimate reward for people? Is the ultimate reward spirituality, Gan Eden? Or is the ultimate reward for a person the revelation of godliness in this world?
Oh.
Now you have to understand, physical rewards are temporary. It's not the ultimate level of reward because it's a temporary existence. Seemingly, spirituality is more permanent and a much greater level than physical reward. Because reward is based on the level of the person, okay? You reward a little kid with a candy, a star, a little car, you know. You can't give that reward to an adult. If an adult does something, you're going to give him a star, and they're going to get angry and insult. You know, I mean, obviously, it's not a reward for them. Maybe certain adults, maybe they do like it. But as a rule, adults are not going to enjoy it. Reward is on the level of a person of what they're able to handle. Physical reward is limited. Physical reward is temporary. Spiritual reward is on a much higher level. Okay? Now, therefore, when a person does Torah mitzvahs now, presently, before BM, before Mashiach, okay, before Mashiach era, for the Mashiach, BME, before Mashiach era, the reward of the mitzvah is ultimately in Gan Eden. Okay? But Gan Eden is only a ray of the Shekhinah. To explain it properly, there is a paradox in a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. In Pirkei Avos, there's in one Mishnah says a contradictory statement, seemingly. It says, 1 hour of Torah Mitzvahs in this world is better than the whole world to come. And right afterwards it says, 1 hour of bliss in the world to come is better than this whole world. So which is it? Okay, so Chassidus explains it very simply and very logically. There is, the world to come is a ray of the Shekhinah, but you feel it. Because in the world to come, there's no body, there's no evil inclination, there's no limitation, there's spiritual limitation, but there's Gan Eden. And therefore, you only get the Ziv HaShekhinah, the ray of the Shekhinah, I mean, not even the ray of God, the ray of God's revelation, the Shekhinah. But the advantage is that you feel it. When you do a mitzvah in this world, mitzvah meaning connection and binding, the mitzvah binds you to the essence of God. The problem with it is you don't feel it. So Gan Eden's advantage is you feel it, but it's only a ray. It's only a limited line of godliness. In this world, you connect yourself to the essence, but the essence is not revealed yet. Okay, so therefore the Mishnah says both things are true. 1 second of Torah Mitzvah's Tshuva Meisim Tevim Be'Elam Hazeh is better than the whole Olam Haba, because the whole Olam Haba, the whole world to come, Gan Eden, is only a ray of the Shekhinah, and this world is the essence. But then the Mishnah said, but 1 second of bliss, because bliss you feel, bliss in the world to come is much better than all the things in this world. Now the Rambam holds, and this is a famous argument that Chassidus discusses between the Rambam and Ramban, Maimonides and Nachmanides, okay, what is the ultimate reward? The Rambam writes, ultimate reward cannot be a body and a soul and a body. Ultimate reward, according to the Rambam, after Tchias HaMesim, there will be a spiritual realm of reward, and that's the ultimate. The Rambam writes, the physical body, there's no reward. So the Rambam asks on himself, but the Torah says, if you follow in the ways of my mitzvahs, in b'chukeisei teleichu, v'nasati gishmeichem be'itom, I'll give you rain, I'll give you prosperity, I'll give you, what we read a few weeks ago, right? The week of the Teichacha. What does God say over there? If you listen to my mitzvahs, you will get health, wealth, happiness, and peace, and anything you want. So the Rambam says, that is not the reward. If you learn simply the pasuk, it means if you do mitzvahs, what's the reward? You're going to get health, wealth, happiness, peace, right? All that stuff. The Rambam says that's not what the pasuk means. The Rambam writes, reward for mitzvahs is the world to come, neshama, no body. What is the pasuk saying then? The pasuk saying, I'm not giving you a reward. God says, when you do a mitzvah, and I see you trying, I'm going to make it easier for you to do mitzvahs. How am I, not as reward, I'm just going to help you. you're going to have money that you don't have to worry about working on Shabbos, or you're going to be able to go down with a minion. I'm going to give you health that you won't have to spend time in the doctors. You know what I mean? So Hashem, the Rambam writes, Hashem says, if you follow in the ways of my mitzvah, I see you're trying hard, I'm going to not reward you. I'm going to help you by taking care of your physical needs. 1 second. Now, but the Rambam writes, the ultimate reward cannot be that. The Ramban, Nachmanides, and Hasidus and Kabbalah maintain, no, that the ultimate reward is Dafke in Gashmias. And that's why all those neshamas that are in Gan Eden waiting, so funny, waiting, if it's, oh, it's okay, can't stand. 3,000 years they're waiting in Gan Eden. What are they waiting for? What, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Meshach, and what are they waiting for in Gan Eden? They're waiting for God, for the neshama to come back into a body. Because the ultimate reward will be neshama in a body. Okay? Now, what was your question? When tzaddikim suffer, they're waiting for Tchias HaMeis. Now, when tzaddikim suffer, is that good or bad? Is it good or bad when tzaddikim suffer? So one way of looking at it, one perspective of looking at it is, listen, it's a reward. Because you're getting cleansed temporarily instead of a permanent problem. Permanent punishment, right? That's one way of looking at it. Next week there's no class, okay, don't forget. It's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it, sometimes, is suffering refines the person. Suffering refines the person.
There's a point.
So the point is called by God what the point is.
That's true.
Whether we like it or not.
There is a point where it's on purpose, but only to refine.
Everything God does is on purpose. There are no mistakes by God.
I know.
No. Okay. If a person is suffering because Hashem wants him to suffer.
I know.
No.
There is a point where Hashem makes you suffer to also refine you because you're experiencing certain things.
That God will know why.
Well, you have to know why.
But one thing is for sure,
if you don't know.
One thing is for sure, you don't have to know why God does it. What you have to know is, if God is doing it, it's good. You don't have to know, listen, why is it good.
Someone is suffering from cancer and having every 2 minutes of blood needle in his vein, he's going to ask himself why. And maybe a lot of people go back to tshuva and
sometimes suffering will bring a person to tshuva. Sometimes suffering is a test, like by Eve.
Yeah,
by Job, suffering was a test.
Sometimes they don't do anything.
So that's our fault.
I know, but I'm saying there's a point where suffering should be also a question.
Does suffering come from Hashem? Yes or no?
Sorry?
Does suffering come from Hashem? Okay, if God does it, is it good?
He does. There's another side you take over.
Don't be an apicurist now, please.
I'm not, but I know there's always two forces.
No, I'm asking you one question.
Ultimately,
is God good?
Yes.
Is God the ultimate good?
Yes.
Does the ultimate good only do good?
Yes.
Okay, so anything God does is good?
Yes. Absolutely.
Is suffering good?
Yes.
So far you learned how to say yes. Suffering is good?
It's not good to suffer.
You're not answering me. That you just contradicted
it's
yourself.
Good. Everything ultimately.
The suffering.
Why the suffering?
You're a bad mathematician.
Yeah.
Huh?
Rabbi, you told us a few weeks ago we're supposed to ask Hashem why for someone
exactly.
else, but not for ourselves.
You're contradicting yourself.
For ourselves.
No. For ourselves also.
No.
I'm learning this in the Tzemach Tzedek.
What?
In the book Derech Mitzvotecha, which I'm reading.
Oh God!
Can I bring it to you, or you? Well, I'm not at the level.
Is it in Hebrew or English? I don't read Hebrew.
English.
Oh, it's in English.
Yeah.
If it's not more than two syllables per word, per I don't read English more than two syllables.
Okay, well I'll explain it to you.
Yeah.
But it's written.
Which mimer?
Something happening.
Which mimer?
I don't know, I'm reading. I'm going through the page by page.
Okay. You better watch her. No.
I'm studying.
No.
that when something happens to you, it's for you to be able to think about what you did and...
Is that good or bad?
Listen to me. And repent. And you have to even open your heart to someone and to your rabbi or to a friend or whatever and to God. First to God. And say, I repent and I did something wrong and stop the suffering. So you have the right to ask God to stop the suffering. It's bad because you're suffering.
If the suffering causes... One second.
Thank you for giving me
that. Is prayer good or bad? Is prayer good or bad?
Ultimately, it's good.
Is prayer good or bad?
It's very good.
If God does things that get you to pray, is it good or bad?
It's just a man. I'm not 5 years old. I'm asking you if it's good for you to suffer when you suffer.
If Hashem makes you suffer, it's good. Hello. If Hashem makes you suffer, it's good.
So when you suffer, you say thank you, Hashem?
Yeah.
That's two different concepts.
Do you make a bracha? When something bad happens, you make a bracha? Somebody passes away, you make a bracha?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now the Gemara says, "Kshem shemavarchim ala teiv, kach mavarchim ala ra." The Mishnah. The Mishnah says, the same way you make a bracha when something good happens, the same way you make a bracha when something bad happens. And the Gemara says, not only Chassidus explains it, the Alter Rebbe explains it in Tanya. But the Gemara says, what does it mean? It's a funny expression. Just like you make a bracha on good, you make a bracha on bad. The Mishnah should say, make a bracha when bad things happen. Why does the Mishnah say, just like you make a bracha when good things happen, the same way? So Chassidus, you know what the Gemara explains what it means? Just like when something good happens, you're happy and excited and you're thanking God. That's the way you have to make a bracha when bad things happen.
So what you're saying, everything
why?
That happened,
why?
For
hello? Why? Why? It's past my bedtime already. Why? Because when God does bad things, and this you're really going to like, if you learn Perech Chavav Tanya, the Alter Rebbe explains that the good that God does when it comes down in bad is greater good than the level of good that comes down when it's openly good. In other words, concealed good, i.e. bad. She's not lost, she got it. Concealed good, i.e. bad, is higher than revealed good. Now, based on that, we should all get up every morning and daven, God, make me bad. Because we should suffer. Because we should suffer, because that's a higher level of good than the good good. So we should daven to Hashem, God, give me bad good, give me bad good, give me bad good. Instead of davening, God, give me good, 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 good.
Exactly.
If it's a higher level. So what's the answer? God is, as you said before, God can do whatever He wants. What we daven is, God, give me that higher level of good in a good, good way. Normally it comes down in a bad, good way. Or good, bad way, whatever. We daven to Hashem, listen to me. Do me a favor. Give me the highest level of good. That's what we daven.
So you argue with Hashem to give you the good.
Yeah. You never argue with God.
No, I do. I argue
so,
every day.
Okay.
Not only for others, for myself.
With everybody.
But that's because Hashem wants. But, there's a difference. There's a difference of saying to God that because you're bad to me, I don't want you anymore. God forbid. Or you say, God, listen. I deserve what I'm getting, okay? And, you know, it's good, and I deserve it, but don't hug me too tight. You know, don't love me too much that you, you know,
suffocate.
Whatever. That's what we daven to God. But there's a big difference in attitude. If a person suffers and say, God, you're no good, I don't believe in you anymore, I don't want you anymore, that's one way. Or a person accepts the suffering, they say, God, I know it's good. I know it's good, but if you're doing it, it must be good. But I ask you for one favor. Do it in a good way, rather than a bad way. That's what Hashem wants us to daven.
So
there's a very, it's not for now, but there's a story of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov came to a guy's house and emptied out everything that he had. Every last morsel of food he emptied out from his house. And finally the guy had no choice and he went out to daven to God. And God made him very wealthy. And the Baal Shem Tov said that this person had wealth waiting in the heaven. And the only thing God wanted him was to daven for it. And as long as he didn't daven, he wasn't going to get it. So what did the Baal Shem Tov do? He forced him to daven. He cleared him out. The Baal Shem Tov, with his love, went and forced the guy to daven. Because Baal Shem Tov knew that everything is there waiting for him. All he has to do is daven.